Nice to see you. I'm one tech object short of normal. I've gone back to low tech. My Kindle was playing up today, so non-electronic. My question to you is this. Have you ever been somewhere where you weren't really bothered about being there? Yeah? Maybe you've gone there for somebody else. Somebody's got a passion for something. Somebody desperately wanted to go there, and they took you along with them. And you sort of went to keep them company, but let's face it, you would have rather been anywhere else rather than there. Yeah? No secrets, but some years ago, when we were on holiday, we were in Austria, and we went to the opera. Now, I can take classical music. I can take it, but it's certainly not my thing. So going to an opera where it was just that, I sort of went along, filled a seat, and went to sleep. There was another time, I could tell this story now because other than Julie, other involved parties aren't here anymore. But as a special treat, when we were on holiday, Dad booked us some tickets to this classical music thing. And we were in Paris. It was our sort of celebration of a wedding. It was the 25 year anniversary. And we went to this event, and I'm not kidding, I was absolutely bored to tears. And it's the sort of epitome of you're there in body, but certainly not in mind. You've gone there for somebody else. You know, they desperately wanted to go or something like that, and you just sort of made up the numbers. I guess you could say you go in a sort of a half-hearted fashion. You know, as I say, the body's there, but the spirit's definitely not. And there are other occasions where you are expected, because of a position at work, because of where you are in your family, you're expected to go somewhere or expected to do something, yeah? You don't really want to do it, but because of the expectations that are laid upon you, you go through with it. A friend at work once described a job like that he had. He says, in a morning, you went, you turned up, and you took your brain out. And then you just did whatever. And at the end of the day, you put your brain back in and you were home. You know, it's one of those situations where you're there, you sat there, you stood there, and the question that keeps coming to you over and over again is, why am I here? Yeah? Sometimes you'll be watching a sport. I've heard it perhaps more with regards football than anything else. And the commentators will say about a particular player, his heart wasn't in it. Yeah? They're sort of going through the motions. You get the phrase, try that once more, but with feeling. Yeah? But that can carry over into other things. It can even carry over into church. And what I'd like to talk about tonight is the church of God and it being a heart matter. Got a reading for you. It's taken from Hebrews chapter 10. It's verses 22 through to 25. This is what it says. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilt, from a guilty conscience, as having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, it's undoubtedly true that God wants to meet with his people. It's been God's idea to commune with people ever since the beginning. In Genesis 3, we see God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. We see God talking to them, being there with them. It was his idea to be in the same place. When the Israelites were called out and God sort of made the tabernacle, they had a place called the tent of meeting, because God wanted to meet. And God wants us to be like-minded. We think of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, God coming to share with us. He wants to meet with us, and he wants us to want to meet with him. Not a case of going through the motions, not a case of just doing it because it's a habit, not just doing it because it's what we always do. I know Dave often says about his neighbour, he washes his car, I go to church, it's what we do. Yeah? And we can get into that sort of thing. But it tells us here in Hebrews we should do it with a sincere heart. And that word there comes from another word which means not concealed, an open heart. Not so much open in that you're showing everything that you feel, but an open heart in the sense that nothing is hidden. You're not pretending, you're not just being there in body, but this is something that's deep-seated in each one of us. A heart that has nothing to hide, a heart that isn't trying to pull the wool over somebody else's eyes. It's something that occurs in each one of us. It's something that God wants us to be, and that is real. A sincere heart, not pretending, not hiding, wholehearted. Christianity is about church, and it's about getting near to God. If we try to meet in a half-hearted fashion, we're not going to get very far. God can see our hearts. You know, when David was chosen as king, the thing that people were looking at was how big, bold, brave, or whatever people appeared. But they got the message that God doesn't look at the outside, God looks at the heart. And God looks at each one of us. In Isaiah 29:13, the Lord says this, "These people, the Israelites, come near me with their mouths, and they honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." The Israelites were doing what so many people can do, and that's simply be turning up. Their hearts weren't in it. We see in the church today, there's been a big fall away in attendance. When Frederick was here, we were talking to him, and he said that as he's been around, he's seen this as being something that's worldwide. As a result of the corona pandemic and the measures that were put in place, some people have used it as an opportunity not to come to church. Some people, because, I don't know, we were working totally online or something like that, now just don't bother to turn up. It can be too easy. People like that perhaps were half-hearted, I don't know. I don't want to be judgmental, but there has been this big drop-off in attendance in the churches worldwide. And the Israelites were people who were going through the motions. It was so easy just to follow the flow. Everybody else was going to the temple, so he just went along with them. Other people were just doing religious things, so you just did it. And we can get into the same pattern. We can just do things because we've always done them. But the truth comes out when the chips are down. You know, God could easily have said about the Israelites, these people are just going through the motions. He could have said, these people are half-hearted. But we need to come with a heart that's open and ready to meet with God, because then he really will meet with us. He wants us to be as real with him as he is with us. No masks, no pretense. We come as we are. Because God knows how we are. We don't fake it, because God sees us through and through. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the situations we're in. He knows how our hearts are. He knows the thoughts that we have. We come as we are, warts and all, and we give him the opportunity to intervene and turn things round. You know, we come and we don't need to hide anything from God. Read you a couple of verses from Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Day after day have sorrow in my heart. Psalmist wasn't beating about the bush there. He says, how long am I going to have to wait here, God? I've prayed to you, and what's happening? Where are you? Why don't you turn up? Why don't you do something? God didn't come down and smite him. God can take it. God can work with us. We don't need to leave those sorts of feelings and think, oh, you know, can't say that to God. He can. He can take it. We need a sincere heart. We need an open heart. We need a heart that's real. But also, as we were looking through the passage, it talked there about encouraging one another. And he puts it this way. Let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's think about how we can encourage one another. Let's think about how we can egg each other on. You know, sometimes you might get a group together and people say, well, as a group, they did what none of them would have done as an individual. It can be both good and bad. And we talk about egging each other on. You know, one encourages another and that sort of pushes the others a little bit further. And they go on like that. And in a positive sense, what this passage is saying is that we need to egg each other on. We need to be people who share what God's doing. We need to do things that will encourage each other to have faith. One time, I remember a pastor saying about a particular person and the situation they were in. He says, go on, give God a chance. Give him an opportunity. Have a go. See what he does for you. And in some ways, it's putting our faith on the line. It's saying, look, God, if you don't come through with this, what am I going to do? And that's on our own. But when we have somebody alongside who says something along the lines of, well, I was like that, but this is what God did. And you think, yeah, he did it for you. He can do it for me. And we need to share our faith journey with one another, because that will encourage one another. Roger has said on numerous occasions how God worked in his life. He was saying about how God encouraged him when he was made redundant. And you know, a few months later, I was made redundant. And I was thinking, well, God, you did it for him. Work with me. And because Roger had that story, it was an encouragement to me to believe and say, yeah, God is interested and God can do something. And God spoke into me and said about a particular thing, that job that I was looking at is going to be yours. But it all starts as we encourage one another. This is what God did for me. He can do it for you. Or we see how God works in somebody else's life and we think, yeah, it's right. God really does do things. God does intervene. The Message version puts it this way: let's see how inventive we can be at encouraging one another. We need to share our stories. We need to share our difficulties and say, look, this is where I am. And someone else might say, yeah, I've been there, or I know somebody who's done that, and God can do something. And we encourage each other to believe and have faith, take hold of God and see miracles. Another way of looking at this passage, that word spur on, it means to incite. Well, you can think again in perhaps negative terms where they said, oh, well, I wouldn't have done it, but they incited me to do it. Well, we can look on that in the positive sense. I wouldn't have believed God, but they incited me to take hold of him, trust him, and see things done. It encourages us to push further than we would on our own, because we've got people alongside us who are thinking about us, praying for us, and saying, God can do it. People engaged in sports at all levels have a coach. The coach could be somebody who has been there and done it and knows what it's like. There could be people who've been through the history, who've seen the ups and the downs, and they know what is what. Good coaches have wisdom. They don't only know the subject that they're talking about, but they know people as well and are able to work with people. They know the best way to encourage, to criticise where it's necessary, but also to correct and say, you're better doing it this way. Someone who knows how to push at the right time. Someone who says, you gave up too early, you could have done more. But not in that sort of put down manner, but rather in a manner that says, next time, go for it. They encourage the people that they are coaches for to believe in themselves and to actually go further than they would on their own. The Holy Spirit works as our counsellor and our comforter, and so often it can be through another person. The criticism can be difficult. Sometimes it's a straightening out and it can take some time, but a good coach, a good encourager will come alongside and help us. We tell the story of when Stephen was about 8 years old. 8 or 10, I can't remember exactly. He got a Lego space shuttle for Christmas. And he was delighted with this. It was the biggest kit he'd ever had in Lego. He laboured all day to put this thing together. And then the big moment came when he was going to set the motor going and the doors of the space shuttle would open and it'd be great. He pressed the switch, and all he heard was click, 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 and the doors did not open. He was devastated. He'd laboured all day on this, and he went to bed very upset. I spent hours on this space shuttle, taking it apart piece by piece, and it was actually something on the fourth step. All right, so went all the way back. But I had to strip it back to that point to get the right piece, and it was fractionally different, the piece that he put in rather than the one that was required, but it made all the difference. And he came down next morning, we got him to press the button and the doors opened, and through bleary eyes I thought, oh, we've done something good. There was a story of also when Stephen was learning the guitar. His guitar teacher told us that when he was in Stephen's position, he was playing the guitar in a particular way. And he says, when he went to university, the lecturer said to him, you're playing that wrong. Not so much the piece, but the technique that you have is wrong. And he spent something like 6 months And he said, relearning almost from scratch the way to play. But he knew this because his lecturer, his teacher, his counsellor had told him that if you carry on as you are, you will not progress. You will hit a ceiling, you will go no further. And the one who came alongside him criticised him. But it was good criticism because it took him back to basics so that he could build up and go forward. And a good coach knows how to do that. And we need people who are prepared to tell us that we're wrong. We need people that are prepared to stand with us and help us to put it right. We need people who'll be there alongside us to encourage us, to not fail us, but to be faithful, and to encourage us to go further. God is on our side, and God wants us to succeed. How is God working with you? How can you share how God is working with you? Tell us. We need it. God has set us in a church. God has put us here. God wants us to be people who support one another and encourage one another and push each other on so that we can achieve more than we could on our own. The passage that we read in verse 25 says this: not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. You know, there are some people who we don't understand. There was one time I was out with my dad and we were just on a walk. And he said, "Whoa, smell that. It smells terrible. Oh, yeah, it really gets in your nostrils. Yeah, smell it, smell it. It's incredibly bad." And I'm thinking, well, stop smelling it then. Stop doing it. If it's so bad, don't carry on. A smart person, if they touch something that's hot, won't go back and touch it again to see if it still hurts. Yeah? There are things to avoid. There are things that we shouldn't do, whether we've done it ourselves and learnt the lesson or we've seen other people. In difficult times, the smart person doesn't go back into difficulty and the pain. They go away from the pain and they go towards the safety. And what I find very difficult to understand is when people have difficulties, instead of going towards safety and a solution, they stay away. How many people avoid church because they don't feel right? How many people, instead of going towards the place where they can find help, thinks, "I'm not going there"? It doesn't make sense. If we've got problems, the place we need to come to is a place where we can help to get the problems sorted. You know, we're not meant to be Lone Rangers. Could you pop that up, please, for us, James? The Lone Ranger, all on his own. But even he had silver. And not only that, he had...
Tonto.
Do not try to do it alone. Don't try to be a Lone Ranger, because even the Lone Ranger had friends. He had friends who came alongside him to assist him, to help him. And just as we have difficulties, so we can have solutions. But do we find the solutions in the difficulties, or do we find the solutions where others will come alongside and aid us. If we come to church with an open and sincere heart, we can meet with God, and He is able to step into the problems. If we come and share with trusted people, we will find that there are those who will stand alongside us, and we don't need to do it alone. The problems can cause us all sorts of issues, and it's so easy at those points to just shut yourself away. But it's so bad to do that. There are times perhaps we feel that God is miles away, but if we can get alongside other Christians, they can encourage us, they can help us, they can support us. Galatians 6 talk about bearing each other's burdens. If we know, we can help. God will encourage, and He so often does it through other people. When times are difficult, when times are hard, when we feel that we're going through it, don't pull apart, pull together. And God will work great miracles. We can pray for each other. We can encourage one another. You might come across somebody who says, I've been through that. I know what that's like. I'll be with you. I will support you. What is the Holy Spirit saying to us? Because let's be honest, we also don't only need to be people who come when it's difficult, but we also need to be people who spot people who come when it's difficult. Be aware. Ask how people are and mean it. And when you see that they're not right, don't just be put off by the, yeah, I'm fine. Because so often we're not. Let's have a heart that's not only sincere, but a heart that is open to work with others and to be prepared to see the difficulties that they're in. Because God could well be calling us to be the ones who come alongside, to stand with them, to encourage them. And you might say, well, what can I do? Well, we might not even be able to provide a solution, but we can provide a listening ear, and God can speak to us and through us to other people. The church isn't just the building, the church is people. Let us be people who pull together to support and encourage one another, because we are the church. It feeds back into spurring each other on to encouraging one another, perhaps to criticise, perhaps to correct, but above all to support. We need each other. We are the church. As a church, we meet God. We need to be open and real. But we also meet each other, and we need to be open and real. As a church, we can help carry each other's burdens. We can help with the problems. We can help with the difficulties. We are the church. It's a heart matter. Let's live it. Amen.